And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March the 6th, 2021. It's season 15, episode 8. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, our number is 334-272-9228. 272-9228, 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can find us on Facebook at In-Game Chat. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Twitter's the same thing. You can find us on Twitch right now, twitch.tv, and then type in In-Game Chat on the search engine. You'll find us. Best thing to do is just go to our website, scroll all the way to the bottom, and you'll find links to our Twitch page. You'll also find a link to our Discord. I got that up on our website. I should put that up on our Facebook page as well. But you can join us in all of those. Plenty of places for you to interact with the show and talk to us and get in touch with us and be a part of it, which we would like you to be. The chat room that we've got going up while we stream the show live here, you can join in there and talk to us while we broadcast. Plenty of ways to get in touch with us. Welcome to the show. I'll make it quick. I've only played Destiny. Well, no, I have not. I have played more than that. I played Until Dawn.
Nice.
Some of it. I played some of it.
Any of it is good.
Chapter 3? Is that what we got? I think we got to Chapter 3. I think we finished Chapter 3 and we're on Chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many chapters there are. But yeah, I think we're on Chapter 4 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the last incident you remember occurring in that game?
Oh, well, I can't remember her name.
Describe her.
She is
Hair color.
Blonde.
Blonde. Twin pigtails.
Is it? Is that the one with the twin pigtails? Yeah.
Blonde with the twin pigtails. I don't remember her name, but I know.
She just got like pulled through a cabin door.
Oh, she got snatched through the door. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you know your spot now. You're about to go to some other scene, and then you're going to have to go with Mike. Because Mike's going to do the obvious thing. You have to go with him.
See, I think, so...
Chrissy, what's her name?
I can't remember.
Oh.
I have no
I can
idea.
Describe them all, but I can't remember the names, except one guy, Mike.
I have a thought. I have an idea, and if they pull this off, that's amazing.
Okay.
Don't tell me if they do this. Don't even tell me if I'm on the right track, because I'm probably not. So, they have these sections where you're talking to a psychiatrist guy or whatever, and you've got to
Peter Stamar.
Yeah. You got to say, well, I don't like this, or I do like this, or I do that, blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just got to the one where it's like, tell us who you know. Who you like more, who you dislike more, and when you're picking out all these characters, or who you blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And there's one, you know, of course, we disliked her, but she's out of the picture now, taken off by whatever that thing was that pulled her through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you don't have to worry about her. She's out of the picture. I have an idea.
Okay.
And I could be completely wrong on this, but I have an idea that the deaths of these camper people, whatever, these teenagers, will come based on my selections of who I don't like. Don't tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. I just have this idea that if it is like this, I think it's amazing. If it isn't, then that's fine. I got to figure a game somewhere has done this before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it has. But I feel like that's the path that I'm being led down, because As you can tell by his office, when you make certain selections to begin with in the game, his office starts to take shape of at least the selections that you said you didn't like. You know, I like a choice between there was a choice between clowns or zombies. Which one do you not like the most? And you know, clowns. Well, then, like two instances later, there's a clown mask in his office, and his office is rotting because I think we put decay and all this other stuff. I mean, and so I figure it's playing into all those. But I have a theory that these teenagers will be offed based on who we did or didn't like, so that it'll come back and say that it was really you that had these that killed these people or whatever. I don't know. I'm probably either overthinking it or completely on the right track. I don't know. But I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just gonna keep playing it and figure it out from there. So, but I don't know. But we'll see. But I wanted to make sure, if he is still listening, Biloxi Gambler, who called in and raved about it last week, that I am playing it. That, you know, I put in some good time with it. One night I tried to play it, and we did play it, in fact, but I had so much anxiety playing it. I was like, I can't.
Anxiety?
Yeah.
Did your anxiety start the moment they told you about the butterfly effect?
No. The anxiety started as soon as I started picking up the game. It didn't happen the first chapter or the second chapter. It happened on this third chapter that we did. And I was I'm trying to figure out a way to put this. Anyway, had a lot of anxiety while I was playing it. Trying to hit the QTEs and everything else. I got really, really anxious on it.
I think, because a lot, because when they describe how the butterfly effect works in this game, I mean, it really solidifies the fact that your decisions, all your decisions, no matter how small or insignificant you think they are, they matter.
Yeah.
All of them matter. Some you don't even think about can affect you 5 hours down the game. You can't remember why that happened. And then something will pop in your mind like, oh, that's why. That little thing caused that to happen.
Does the game, and I haven't seen this, it's something that I loved about Detroit, and I haven't even played Detroit. I've only played the demo of Detroit, but I know it exists in there, is the thread tree, you know?
Yeah.
This tree of like, well, because
The demo did that. The demo had this long...
For Detroit, yes.
For Detroit, this long splayed out tree just for that one little
section. But I think that's also in the game itself, too.
Yeah.
Is there anything like that for Until Dawn? Maybe after it's all over with, is there anything to say, well, here's the different paths you took and how you got to this point, or...
There's something like that when you get to the end, or there's something in the, like a journal or something, but because you did this, this happened. And because that happened, this happened later on. But it all started because you did that little thing way back when.
Right.
Yeah. There's something like that in there. Not as detailed as Detroit, I believe.
Was, yeah.
But Until Dawn has something similar to that.
Okay. Just curious about that. Yeah, no, I'm interested to see where it goes. That's my first thought. And if they do it that way, it reminds me a lot of these old... what was his name? The magician guy, David Copperfield, I think is his name.
David Copperfield,
yeah.
Magician, yeah.
Yeah, on all his little TV specials or something, I say all of them, but at least on, I think at least two or three of them that he did this sort of like, whatever, interactive magic. It was basically a card trick.
Yeah.
Where, you know, pick these, and he would guess what your card is. And it was all based on math and everything else. If you, if they're going to select this and multiply by this and divide by this, they're going to always end up with this card, regardless of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to end up with whatever it was. Because I remember one time I did it, and then I think I had a DVR at the time, and I rewound, and I picked something else, and I would go through it. And from what I understand, it was all, you know, it's all mathematical to bring you to the same same card each time.
Yeah.
So, which is what I'm looking at on this one. If, like, I don't think it's done the same way because people have different opinions on who these characters are. I don't know. Then that one's also kind of, listen, for the most part, everybody in this group deserves the fate that's coming to them. The one that got sucked into the doorway was just really kind of annoying and horrible person. There's a couple of others here who I don't like, who are kind of...
There are definitely some people that you will not like right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Some you can not instantly dislike.
Yeah.
But, you know, as time goes on, you might feel either way.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of thinking my theory's wrong on this, because obviously that first death or that first kill or whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know that that's something that can be avoided. I can't remember in all the selection processes if there was some way that I could have kept that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm almost positive that there isn't. I feel like that's always going to happen regardless, but I could be completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not until after that scene that you get asked, how do you like these people? You know,
mm-hmm. The therapy session.
Yeah, the therapy session. Where it's like, what do you think about these people?
I think it's Dr. Hill.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying is that that comes after the fact. So I don't necessarily know that there's any way to stop that first kill, but you could have, as a player, you could have liked that person.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's a little vague right now, but I'm curious to see how it's going to play out. So
okay, yeah, I'm trying to. I pulled.
Pulled up the characters.
Earlier. Should have done this earlier, but you have Samantha, Josh, Mike, Jessica, Ashley, Christopher, Emily, Matthew.
I think it was Ashley.
Ashley.
Okay. Yeah. I think it was Ashley.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Emily
double pigtails.
Emily needs to go away as well. Samantha, so far, is whatever, but Emily needs to go away.
Yeah, I think it's universal. People did not like Emily the first time they met her.
Well, they play this one clip over and over again every single time that you either watch a recap of what happened in the last episode, which I like that they've done the episodic type mm-hmm. things.
Yeah,
they use this one clip of her. It's just a prank, Han, and it just grinds on me every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, I've heard that, and I'm like, I just don't like you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a perfectly, respectable human being, but I'm just sorry. Because they use that one clip of you over and over again, it's driven me to hate you, and now you need to die in this video game, is apparently where I've gotten to.
Why couldn't it have been you snatched through that door first?
Right? Just take her. It's just a prank, Han.
Yeah, we need the sound clip. We need a sound clip of that immediately,
yeah.
Folks.
Yeah, no, we don't. Hey, Biloxi Gambler, I'm glad you called in.
Yes, well, man, y'all are Destination Radio. I tell people don't call me between 4 and 6. Anyway, in the versions that I have played, I don't know what y'all are talking about, a girl getting sucked through the door.
Oh, wow.
I tell you.
Well, let me ask you, can you remember, I don't know if you can remember, who was the first person to die in your playthrough?
No, I couldn't because I was so lost, kind of like you are right now.
Okay.
Which is good. That's a good thing about the game. The thing is, what I love about this game, when you get to the end of it, then you'll go, what? Wait a minute. Oh, I understand that now. I mean, and it all comes together. And at the very end, because I keep playing it, I keep going back to those chapters. It unlocks every chapter. So you can go back to different scenes, and then you can play just that chapter if you want to. And then, of course, it changes the rest of the game and make a different decision than you make. Because you'll remember your decision. You go, okay, well, I went right instead of left, and I'm just making that up. But except for there's one chapter where you go right or left. But anyway, and I went right instead of left. I'm gonna go left and see what happens this way. It is a decision tree, and it's just like Man of Medan. This dude that wrote this, and these people that put this together, have really put together quite an adventure for you. You're really going to enjoy it. I'm not giving any spoilers. I ain't telling you nothing.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, yeah.
My girl, of course, I'm taking the joy out of the game. I want you to stay lost like I did till you finish it. And then I want you to hit that big, and you go, oh, I get it now. And that's the whole fun. You know, last night, and y'all don't talk about it much, but I went back and played some Red Dead Redemption, too.
Yeah, the sequel or the first one?
Now, what's the sequel?
Red Dead Redemption 2. I don't know if I can... There's not much difference there. You're not playing as that... I don't think you're playing as Marston anymore on this one.
No.
On Red Dead Redemption 2.
Well, I'm playing Arthur.
That sounds like 2.
That sounds like 2.
That's 2. That's two. You're playing the sequel.
Yeah, I'm playing... Okay. Well, yeah, I'm playing... Yeah, I'm playing the most modern version, I guess. But I've already completed the game. I completed the game back in 2019. And I think they've added a bunch of stuff to it and everything. But I said all that to say this. Well, I found the pig farm. Because, I guess I didn't do everything that's in the game. And I guess it's impossible to do everything in the game unless you play it a whole lot more. I mean, I finished the story.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that, I didn't do, I guess. And I love the pig farm. Anybody that hadn't played the pig farm, go find the pig farm. That's a horror story in itself. It's great. I love it. But, but let me tell you something. See, back in the day, I remember this game. It was called Pong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, it was a little white ball, a little white thing on the end, and you could play tennis or you could play, like, handball. And I had one. I was one of the lucky kids in the neighborhood that had one. And then another kid. So we were the big gamers back then, Jay.
Yep.
Yeah, like y'all. Okay. Well, and then you see just in my lifetime how it has come from Pong to Red Dead Redemption 2. Going through an open world, I'm hunting, I'm fishing, and all that. Anyway, I just love how technology has changed everything. And like I said, I ain't gonna say much about it until dawn, but except that I can't wait to continue to hear your updates. You will. I didn't give you bad advice here. This is a good game to play. You'll enjoy it.
All right. Well, thanks, man. I'm still going through it. Like I said, we're chapter 4, I think, now is where we're at,
And what you'll want to do after you finish, you'll be like me, and maybe not right away, but in between your Destiny and stuff, you'll go, well, let me, and then you'll, because it shows the scenes where it'll remind you where you're at in the story, and you go, well, let me try this chapter again and see where it leads down that path. And as you get, after you finish, then I can talk about something without spoiling it for anybody else.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say anything right now. But anyway, but yeah, man, I'm here every day 4 to 6, even if it's a repeat. Talk to you later. Bye.
See you, man.
See you now.
So into that, and then some Destiny as well. So, the only thing I would say about Destiny, the only thing there was that there was a glitch that was discovered. Where you could get more people.
I was about to ask you, was it an exploitable one for your benefit, for the gamer's benefit?
Not against other players, no.
Okay.
In other words, it's not something you could do.
Well, not exactly for other players, but as in terms of loot.
Not really, no.
Okay.
No.
Because that's what you play Destiny for, really, loot.
No. You're going to get the same amount of loot as anybody else's, but you can just bring more people into an event than is what is capable.
Oh, bigger chance of success then.
Very much bigger chance of success, and likely faster as well, because if you have that many people,
with the same mindset,
going ham on an enemy, you're going to drain him, like just one phase. You know, you won't have to repeat any steps. You can almost one phase a lot of these enemies in this raid that we're doing, but there are a few that you would have to do. Yeah, it's gonna either be disastrous or amazing.
No, nothing in the middle. Just either or.
Well, so we did the raid last week, ran through the raid, no problem, and we had heard of this glitch, and so there was this exotic quest event that's a 3-man group.
Okay.
But we were able to load in 6 people into this thing. It's only supposed to be for 3, but we timed it right to get 6 people in there.
Okay.
It took a minute to get us there, but once we did, it was just amazing to go through. It was a lot of fun to go through with more people than what you're supposed to do. And so for the raid tonight, we're going to try and get 12 people in instead of 6. You have to do it in multiples of basically 3. You can do 1, 3, 6, 12. You can't go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, you can probably get 6 to 12 people in like a regular nightfall,
Okay.
Or which is just a, you know, one of those strike mission type things.
So it goes. So one glitch goes from tedious to a good time.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. A lot of people have said it's some of the most fun they've had just playing the game, just because it's so reckless and just sort of, you know, just chaotic with everything going on.
So it's like mayhem, even in the Crucible?
It very much is. I mean, obviously you're not regenerating your supers that fast. Yeah,
but from what I gathered, mayhem was a lot of fun for a lot of players. I
yeah.
mean,
but to have that many people involved in something that you're only supposed to have, because we're, you know, it's usually we only bring six, but now we can bring double that.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure, there's not going to be enough. Like, there's a raid is built for the most part for every person to have a role.
Right.
You know, you're gonna be on this side, and you got to watch for this thing to turn red and do what you got to do, and you're gonna be over here, and you got to watch for this thing, and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm. Team exercise.
Yeah, it's very much team oriented. There's not that much that is involved in this raid that really requires a lot of teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does for like clearing the ads and stuff like that. But as far as making things happen, making the mechanics work, doesn't really involve a lot of people. So we can let those people run around and then everybody else can just go nuts, do whatever.
Yeah.
And it is going to be, I feel like it's going to be insane. We're going to try and stream it coming up tonight. And see if we can stream it and see if it works.
Yeah.
But
well, if the players are all having such a ball with it, maybe something Bungie can look at and say, hey, we need to give the folks more of that.
They already
like that.
They already commented on this and said that hey, we're glad you're having fun with it. There's a lot of other stuff that we need to get to first before we get to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So enjoy it while you can.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep in mind, his word was, just keep in mind a lot of these events weren't built for clown cars of Guardians to run through there. So, you know,
he literally said clown cars of Guardians?
Yeah, exactly. So, because you're pulling in there and you're popping out with way more people than should be in
that,
this thing.
That needs to be the name of the event from now on. Clown car event. Yeah
we're going to clown car this thing? Exactly.
The clown car event. Yeah.
But that was the thing, was that, they're okay with it because apparently it's not actually hurting anybody's game. Nobody's doing this in the PvP stuff. It's just all whatever PvE is.
Yeah.
It's not hurting anybody's game whatsoever.
Right.
These are raids which aren't public events. These are other things which aren't public type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not hurting anybody's game.
Okay.
And so they're okay with it. But they did say a fix is coming around March 16th.
Okay.
Is when they'll probably get that fixed. But they were perfectly okay with it and said, go ahead. You know, just to let people know, if you experience any bugs, it ain't anything on our end.
Yeah.
It's because you put too many people in an event that doesn't know what to do with that many people in it.
Yeah.
Because we weren't having any glitch. The only problem is that if you are able to pull this off and somebody loses their connection or gets kicked or some glitch happens where they're thrown out, they cannot get back in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They can't get back in. It is done. So... Now, I lasted the entire time on this thing that we did last weekend. So yeah, we're going to try and do that for our first raid run tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Get everybody in as much as we can and go through it and see how well it works.
Okay.
Just to do it and have fun.
Yeah, have fun, yeah.
Exactly. We're at a break here. When we come back, we will get into your games. I didn't think my talk about the games, but of course, then I played Until Dawn, and that gave me more. And then, of course, to get Biloxi Gambler in to talk about it as well, so... we are going to go to break. When we come back, we'll find out what RJ has played. We'll hit up some of the news that we've got as well. Music here from a game called Mortal Shell. This is a track called The Cathedral. I ran out of like new stuff that was coming out, so I went to the Humble Bundle from last month, and I found games from there, and I think this is one of those. Mortal Shell, The Cathedral. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Trine 4, the main theme from that game. Again, I think that's another one that comes from the Humble Bundle for last month. So, RJ, what have you played?
You know, last week I said that I had a plan to play a whole bunch of games throughout the weekend. I'd love to tell you I did, but I didn't. It was still one, Cyberpunk 2077, still playing that. I just finished level 50 of the second character I made.
Oh, good Lord.
I've been playing this like I do Dark Souls, Demon Souls, or all the Souls series. I get like four or five characters, and I play through every single one of them. But I've done Nomad, I've done Street Kid, now I'm going to do Corpo. So we'll see what that is all about, what limited and exclusive things or choices that this character has to make based on her background. So I've been doing that all this week. But now that I'm done, I could start my third playthrough, glitches and all. Oh, speak of which, Lasix glitch. There was a legendary weapon I picked up, a light machine gun, because as a Brawler and Annihilation type, that's one of the weapons that it features, the shotguns and the light machine guns. Well, I had a legendary machine gun that I picked up, and I can't put mods on it. As soon as I put a mod in the thing, it takes the first spot. So it has three other slots I can put stuff into, but I went down to select them. As soon as I pick another mod in there, it swaps it out and deletes the one that I put in there previously.
It deletes it? Is it supposed to do that?
No. The only time it's supposed to delete a mod is if you try to replace it with something else.
Yeah.
But if you have three extra slots that are open and you try to put a mod in there, it just instantly takes the top spot and deletes whatever was in there. Mm. So I can only put one mod on a machine that is built to take four.
Right.
So I'm stuck with one until they fix that glitch out. I mean, it's still good as is, but it could be a lot more if I put the mods in there that I've already got available. But you don't want to take any of them, so I'll just have to switch up or stick with it as is until the thing's fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still figuring out catching glitches every playthrough. So I'll probably find another one as I start on my third one.
Anything else?
Nope. Just that. Yep.
I meant to tell you off the air, and I forgot to tell you off the air, so I'll do it off mic here real quick and tell you why I had anxiety that day playing Until Dawn.
Okay. Valid reason. That is the most validest of reasons I've ever heard in my lifetime,
sir. There you go.
That will work.
And for those watching on the camera, you'll know exactly why I had anxiety playing that game.
That only enhances the experience.
It did not. It for me. Because I knew during some of these like chase scenes where you've got to press certain buttons within the amount of time.
Yeah,
QTE. The QTE parts of it.
Yeah.
Like when it's telling you, hey, do you agree or disagree with this person? Do you like it? That's fine. I don't mind that.
Right.
Plus, I'm not the one making those choices.
Mm-hmm.
It's her. But on the parts where I've got to do this, and on the parts where it's very fast for her to make the decision, because there's some where it's like, go left or right.
I mean, you can't hit pause on some of these decisions. Yeah. It's like you got that little circle filling up, and when it fills up, it's going to make a decision for you.
And so I had a whole lot of anxiety playing that part because, number one, I was worried that she was going to say a choice, and because of the timing and everything else, I was going to pick the wrong thing or move the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. I thought during some of the chasing when you're supposed to either duck or jump or do this other stuff and you're supposed to press a button and make that happen.
Right.
I was all kinds of nervous whenever that came up because. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's the reason why. So I can't play that game like that anymore. Because it's just too much anxiety.
Do it anyway and stream it.
I know, right? Well, I just don't think it'd be good because it'd just be me not making choices.
It doesn't have to be good. It just has to be funny. And that would be funny.
I can't move that fast right now. I'm like, nope. So, not a thing. I was thinking maybe Detroit would be better in that regard, or maybe.
No.
I'm thinking about going through and playing Last Guardian again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that would be something, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, that was my... I meant to tell you that off the air, and I never got around to it. So let's jump into the news. Nabokov fan says we definitely love some more streams. We might stream the raid tonight, just because we're going to try and get as many people in there. So we might stream it tonight. If I can get all my streaming stuff set up and everything, we may do that. My worry is the audio. I got to make sure that the audio you'd be picking up. I don't even think I put OBS on my new machine yet.
That's the one that works with everything perfectly, right?
OBS?
OBS with your stuff?
Yeah, that's what we've got here. It's just that I don't even think that I've set up OBS on my new PC that I built back in October. I don't think I've streamed on this at all since I've had it. So, yeah, I may need to do some of that. I haven't even tried that.
Do a little tweaking.
If we don't stream it, we will link our stream to some, because I know somebody out of the 12 people, likely 12 people that we're going to have, somebody's going to be streaming this, and I will link to it. Do we have enough followers to be able to stream directly on YouTube? That I am not aware. I don't know. I think we have 200 and some odd, 250 some odd followers on the YouTube channel. So I don't know if that allows us to do that or not. I'll look into some of this. He says, I think all you need is 100. So I'll look into some of this. Hey, I was about to jump into news here. Before we do that, let me go to the phones here and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much, buddy. What's going on with you?
Not much. I've had an eventful week. My cell phone died Tuesday night, and luckily I was able to get a free upgrade to an S8 Plus. So I finally got in on Friday afternoon and somewhat got it restored back, of course. But
what is this S8 you speak of?
The Samsung S8
Oh,
Plus.
It's a Samsung. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but my old...
I only speak in Apple.
Oh. Yeah, the old S7 Edge died and got into an internal boot loop where it wouldn't even boot up the phone no more, so...
Boot loop?
Yep. So, bad thing was that my video game collection, I used a notepad, I just had notes, this and this, completed in bots or loose or whatever.
Oh, because you're going through doing some inventory, were you?
Yeah, I won't have to go back and redo all that. But I figured out a way where I can... The program that I'm using now on my phone, I can at least back it up to the SD card, and I've already made a folder, and so I can, it won't happen again.
I'll have to do that one day myself. Inventory all the video games I've got in my collection. I've got plenty. Old carts and discs and all types of things. I may have to inventory my stuff as well one day. Yeah. May as well.
It's very fun. Especially if you can have a friend call out everything and go through it, and then you can type it up as you're going. Then maybe I can get a friend to come over or get my father to help call out stuff as I'm typing it in. But oh well.
Well, I mean, Wikipedia does have lists of like all console games. Like check off what you don't have. Do it that way.
Yeah, that's true. But I'll have fun. I'll go back through that and do that again. But I also found you remember those old electronic lab kit things that they sold years ago, to bring up for youth, to kind of get them a little taste of electronic stuff. It had the fan and little light bulbs and, where you had to...
You'd have to make a circuit. You'd have to connect a circuit.
Make circuits and things like that. Yeah.
Well, of course, I found one of those dirt cheap and, got it for $5. And it still had the original price sticker on there. But dumb old me hooked up a 9-volt battery to the two color lamps on there, but they only supposed to require 3-volt lamps, so I burnt both lamps out already. But I can get clear replacements, dirt cheap. There's the little round socketed, little small lights, 0.3 amp, 2.5-volt lamp. So maybe I can get some color filters and make a little mold to go over them and fake it.
This was like decades ago, wasn't it?
Yeah,
trying to see what the modern day equivalent for that would be. Something with a heck of a lot more power, probably.
Yeah, but they had two AA batteries and a 9-volt battery, and I hooked it up to the 9-volt leads on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there's lamps. They can hold. I read the book, and no wonder. And it said don't hook them up to the 9-volt. You'll burn them out. And I'm like, that's what happened.
So you find the alphabet. Yeah, play with it now. Read the instructions later. Okay.
Yeah, that's what we usually do, right?
Yeah, right.
course, I'll probably go back. You know, I want to give it to my buddy's son. He's 5 years old, and I'm going to take a magic marker or something, and I'm going to write up there, 3-volt max.
Yeah, 3-volt max, yep. And he'll exceed that. Yeah, trust me, he'll exceed that.
Yeah, I guess I just gave him some clear ones, and it gave him a pack of free bulbs, and we know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The other thing I did, I replaced some of those old wire and pieces of wire in there and got some solid state, you know, solid core wire that I had laying around the house that I had from electronics class years ago in high mm-hmm. school. That was a whole lot better. You know, it's a solid strand, you know, a set of stranded wire. So
I've got
those refits up so he can at least enjoy it from now on down the road.
That class you were in, what was it called? Was it called Principles of Technology?
Oh, no, it's industrial electronics. It was in high school.
Yeah. That was what they called it in ours, Principles of Tech. It was just like a grab bag of whatever. Yeah.
We didn't have that, but I'd seen stuff like that, basically like Radio Shack. You want to go that far back, but Radio Shack is where all that stuff was.
Yeah, that's where it was. It was from Radio Shack. It still had the original price sticker on it. It was 1995.
Yep.
Well, Chris, buddy, it's good hearing from you again.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon.
All right, man, take care.
Take care now.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
We've got some time here. To the surprise of no one, that E3, of course, the live events have been canceled this year. It's interesting, though, because somebody found the it comes from lacity.org, which I guess is the documents that were filed with the Board of Los Angeles Convention and Tourism Development Commission. Mm-hmm. And it's got a list of all these different things, the event, the date, and then the update on what they're doing. And E3 2021, arrival date is June 15th. Canceled live event in 2021. It says, working with production team on broadcast options at LA Live and the LA Convention Center. Also says, working on 2022 and 2023 license.
Hmm.
Which I thought was interesting. And now I can't get it to go away. Because on some of these other things, it says, working to rebook 2024. Signing their license agreement through 2030, have rebooked in 2023 on all these different things. But apparently E3 has not gotten their license for 2022 or 2023. I remember the last time I went there, or one of the last times I went, where I remember reading that they had re-signed their agreement with the Los Angeles Convention Center through I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good number of years.
Yeah.
Which kind of made me sad because I was hoping they were going to move it. Get out of L.A. and go to the San Diego Convention Center over there. Has a much bigger place for everybody there, and it would get it out of L.A. anyway, which I never liked going to. But that it matters. I don't think it matters anymore. At that time, I was hoping for it so that we could go there and do it. But, looking at it now, I'm like, ooh, it's a good thing they never did because that – I don't think it's going to grow. In other words, I don't think E3 is going to come back the same.
Right.
I think it will come back. I just don't think it's going to come back the same.
Yeah.
I think because these companies have realized, oh, we don't need E3, we can do this ourselves. That is going to pull away. So I think it is. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these companies or corporations, they may look at it and say, no, we need that, and we need to be there. But there were so many that were pulling out of it before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sony had gotten out of it. Nintendo had gotten out of it. There was a lot that had just really backed away, and EA had stopped.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, man, they don't need it. They mm-hmm. don't need it. And I think last year and this year are going to show them that, you know what? They don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need it in the current form that it is. Maybe they need it in some other way, but it's going to be hard to figure out what way that would be that isn't already covered by things like PAX or some of the other game shows as well, especially where the public's involved.
Mm-hmm.
I would think the more people you can get at your show, the more the companies will want to be in front of those people.
Yeah.
And E3 just doesn't pull in numbers that generate those kind of views. Mm-hmm. They really don't. Not anymore, or not that way. You're better off with doing your own little streaming thing or sending out copies of your demos to press so they can use it, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we can generate hype ourselves. We really don't need E3 to do
that.
They
really don't need it.
Yeah.
So that's what I read there. Yeah, there's an article here from Rock Paper Shotgun that talks about the... it says, a newly discovered Destiny 2 glitch lets players cram so many people into a team than officially allowed, and boy howdy, it's been daft. Smushing two fire teams together for a 12-person raid? Sure. I've seen 12 people crammed into the three-player, one of the three-player missions that we did last week. The glitch is tricky to pull off and presumably will soon be patched out, but I had a grand old time joining a 12-player raid over the weekend. It was maybe the sloppiest and silliest raid I've done, but we all enjoyed it. So, yeah, they talk about that. He says, this was the longest Deepstone Crypt I've done in a while, just from the chaos. Deepstone Crypt usually runs like clockwork with everyone knowing their role and tracking the rhythm of puzzles, but with 12 players running around and gabbing on Discord, it's hard not to lose focus. Daft, chaotic, very fun, and by God, we could spit out numbers during boss damage phases, even if jostling for position did accidentally cause a few team kills. Because everybody, basically you get 12 people, 6 in front, 6 in back, and somebody fires off a rocket and hits somebody in front of them, you're going to wipe out the entire team.
Yeah. Only you're not mad this time, you're having a good old time, so you come back with no problem.
Oh, you are, yeah, it's just great. Because apparently you have that many revive tokens, so whereas before you only had 6 revive tokens, 1 revive token per person per encounter, when you have 12, you have more than that. Says we did have some rare moments of synchronicity. If you fancy a go yourself, I would try it sooner than later. If Bungie finds the reaction to this glitch encouraging and it turns out not to have caused too many technical issues, I hope they consider trying more larger Destiny activities. I wouldn't want to raid like this often, but I've enjoyed modes like Escalation Protocol and Altar of Sorrow, which officially led up to 9 players together, do all that stuff. Yeah. You've really got to coordinate if you want all 9 people into a public event like that. It's a lot of coordination to pull that off.
Yeah, I remember times when I just walked into an area in Mars and all of a sudden, hey, you're part of the Escalation Protocol. Like, what? I didn't come here for this.
We used to 9-man that, and the way that worked was basically you had to get 3 different people to see each other on the map. So there'd be 9 of us in the Discord channel, and we just keep loading in to the planet.
Yeah.
And say, do you see anybody there? Nope, don't see that person. So you'd load out. And as soon as 2 people were there, then we'd try to get a third. And as soon as a third came, then everybody would join up on the... And then, boom, you've got, 9 people in one instance.
Yeah.
Very hard to do. Took a while to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't. It is a little tricky, but it doesn't take a long time to... Once we nailed it. We had an idea of what it should be, and we got it right. Once we got to that idea, we got it right on like the second or third try. It took a lot of tries for us to get to the point where we think, okay, we think we've got it. Now we just got to get our timing right. And it only took us, 2 tries after that to make it happen. So a lot of fun, and we're going to try and do that tonight.
Yeah, you got to the 16th, they said, right?
Yeah, March 16th. Okay. Which there's nothing, you get nothing out of this but the experience and fun of doing it. Mm-hmm. There's no triumph for it. There's no emblem. There's no kind of loot for it. There's nothing special about it whatsoever in game itself, other than having more people than should be. So, Last of Us Part 2 got a record number of BAFTA awards, 13 BAFTA awards. Trying to see what they all were. The most for any single game in the history of the awards. Sony games dominate the BAFTA nominations list with 10 nods for Ghost of Tsushima.
Proud of you.
Thank you. 7 for Miles Morales, 6 for Dreams, and 4 for the Sackboy platformer game that came out for PS5. Hades got 8 nominations, while Nintendo's Animal Crossing and Fall Guys has shared 5. I was hoping to see what their nominations were for, but 13, that is a lot. Yes, except the cookies. Let's look and see what they are here. That's Game of the Year. Oh, you can only vote on Game of the Year. Okay, I just wanted to see the nominations for the other for all the other things, but I can't. So, anyway,
you know much about the BAFTA Awards?
Not much. It's a British thing.
Okay.
It's British, BAFTA something, British Arts and Theatrical, I don't know, Association or something.
I was just trying to see who. Okay, no, just to, that's what the internet is for. I'll say the winners and nominees in the majority of categories are voted by 6,500 BAFTA members.
Yeah.
Comprised of industry professionals and creatives around the world. But that's for film awards, though.
Not to sound snooty, and I will sound snooty when I say this, but people would rather display a BAFTA award than they would a video game award, whatever that is, that Jeff Keighley hands out at the end of the year, in December. I think they would much rather have a BAFTA award. BAFTA's game awards compared to the video game awards feel like, what's the word? People's Choice Awards and an Emmy or an Oscar or a Grammy or something like that.
Okay, so,
makes it sound horrible as though like People's Choice doesn't matter, but I have no idea if it does or not, but I know that for whatever reason, it's something to have one of those others on your mantle than it is a People's Choice Award. People's Choice Award is the award you bring out anytime you're going to be on camera in front of the public to talk about you winning the People's Choice Awards. That's the only time you bring it out.
Okay.
An Emmy, an Oscar, a Grammy, that's the one you have up during every single interview that you have with it behind you on your mantle. People's Choice, not so much.
Yeah,
it's the thing you bring out when the relatives are coming over to, they got you that for Christmas and you got to make sure they see it whenever they come over.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones are something that you would, make sure everybody sees.
Well, I bring that up because
like
I'm
saying, it sounds snooty.
Well, I bring it up because the thing about when you say Last of Us, I think about that whole situation again where the industry was going to give that Game of the Year.
Yeah.
It was like a foregone conclusion almost.
But the players
said not so much.
Well, interestingly enough, that particular game, the Game of the Year award from BAFTA is voted on by people, by the public.
The public, yeah.
All the other stuff that they've got is voted on, I guess, by that committee, but the public gets to vote for Game of the Year, so you might see something
certain folks, but not, but the players aren't involved in that at all.
And I'm not saying it's better or worse than anything else.
Yeah.
I just know as seeing people talk about it, they're way more receptive. Or I say receptive. They're way more.
It has more weight.
Apparently.
Yeah. It has more weight than the
other
choice. Okay.
And I don't know why, but it just does, I guess. I have no. Maybe because it's British. Who knows? Speaking of Fall Guys.
Yeah.
Epic Games bought Fall Guys. Bought the studio. And we're going to talk about that when we come back, because I just looked at the time here and we're right at the top of the hour. So, when we come back, we'll have that. This is a song called, it's from a game called Curse of the Dead Gods. The track is called Dark Avatar. Curse of the Dead Gods. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Endless Space 2. Which I don't know, was that last week? Was that this week? That was last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, or last week. That was last, whatever, last month from the Humble stuff. But yeah, Endless Space 2. Which I think is still in early access. I don't know if it got out of early access or not.
Is that singing?
It's something. Chanting, maybe? No. No, that's not singing. No. Somebody pressing a key on a keyboard.
Okay.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like that rendition of human voice on the synthesizer back in the day. Remember those?
Basically.
Yeah.
Probably exactly what it is. So Epic went and bought Fall Guys. Mediatonic is the name of the developer. It's makers of Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout. Gameplay isn't changing. The company will continue to support Fall Guys across platforms, including PC, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch. Your gameplay isn't changing, and neither is our mission to bring Fall Guys to as many players as possible, said Epic. Each season will continue to expand the game with new content, features, rounds, and costumes. That's the developer saying that, not Epic, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It says this doesn't. This isn't clear on how this will affect the game's future on Steam. Because Epic continues investing in exclusives for its rival digital game storefront, the company previously purchased Rocket League, and a year later they stopped new sales of the games on Valve's store Steam. For Rocket League, you can only play it on Epic. So, Epic did not respond directly when asked by Kotaku if it would commit to keeping Fall Guys for sale. Long-term plans are still in motion, but we expect to bring Fall Guys to the Epic Game Store at some point to help them expand to new audiences. That's all they've said. In a FAQ over on Mediatonic's website, the studio stresses that despite the sale, Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout will remain purchasable on Steam and PlayStation. The studio is also aiming to bring universal Epic account systems across play, squad v squad modes to the game. On the topic of whether the game will go free to play, nothing to announce right now is what they said. And that's fine. They can say that right now as far as, you know, it being available on Epic and Steam, as far as, you know, two different storefronts on one system, be that being at PC. It's fine that they can say that right now. But again, it took a year before they pulled Rocket League off of Steam. I think it'll take a year or so before they probably pull Fall Guys off of Steam. They're going to keep that exclusive. If it brings players over there, they're going to make that exclusive. There's no reason that they would continue to do that and not bring people over to their store. Because then they could say, look how many players we have for Fortnite. Look how many on PC. Look how many players we have for Fall Guys. Mm-hmm. Look how many people are using our storefront, even though they're basically only using that storefront to play the game. And it's their only place to go and play that game eventually. So I only think it's a matter of time before it becomes exclusive to the Epic Games launcher store, whatever.
Yeah.
Before it's pulled off of Steam. And I don't know. They may stop selling the Steam version but still allow you to play on Steam servers with whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they probably I don't know if Rocket League is still done that way or if everybody got migrated over to Epic. I'm not sure. That's interesting. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but I'm pretty sure it's going to work out where it will not be available on Steam at some point. So, what else do we have? A new game that just popped out of nowhere from a company called Cold Iron Studios called Aliens Fireteam. It is a co-op survival shooter set 23 years after the original Alien trilogy. Basically, teams of up to three players or a single player with AI teammates scour overrun facilities, abandoned colonies, or alien landscapes, hunting and killing 20 different types of enemies from the aliens themselves or the bugs, the little tiny bugs, to the synthetics from Weyland-Yutani. The aliens come at the player's fire team from all directions, bursting into pools of acid when killed.
So is this like Predator Hunting Grounds?
It seems that way, where they just made it that, but except no, there's nobody else playing the Predator.
Yeah.
It's Predator's AI.
Yeah.
Doesn't somebody get to play as
somebody
the Predator?
Somebody gets to play as the Predator in that one. Yeah.
Players choose from one of five classes, customize the characters, and then take on a series of repeatable campaigns. It's the sort of game where you might have to survive waves of enemies while waiting for an elevator to descend. To keep things from getting stale, there's a challenge card mechanic that modifies each campaign mission with specific special modifiers, challenging players to do things like clear an area using only headshots. Aliens Fireteam is coming to Xbox One, the X, the S, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, and PC this summer. Not a lot of excitement for it. I'm okay. It's fine. It's not gonna.
Just another team-based shooter.
It's not gonna pull me in. It's really not gonna pull me in.
Yeah.
I say that it might, but I don't see that happening. So,
just on nostalgia alone, I mean, it's not gonna be anything else other than that.
Yeah, we were talking about Epic Games earlier. The date for the trial of Apple versus Epic has been set. May 3rd. Is when the court date will actually take place between Apple and Epic over this whole thing that happened back in August of last year when Epic added an alternative payment system to Fortnite to get around Apple and Google's in-app purchase mechanisms, which then Apple and Google booted Fortnite off their stores, with Epic quickly responding by filing lawsuits against both companies for doing that. Epic Games has won a temporary restraining order to prevent Apple from taking away its developer licenses for iOS and macOS. Apple, meanwhile, decided to have its App Store fees for the vast majority of developers, something that will likely make it harder for Epic to claim it's championing smaller developers with its case. Oh, and Apple also filed a counter lawsuit against Epic for a breach of contract, adding another layer to this legal stuff. May 3rd. Which you can expect, you know, weekly reports on, I guess, how that's going eventually. I mean, if it's anything interesting enough. Honestly, this we've been covering it as far as it's been going on, and so, of course, I'm giving you updates on this, but I don't like it, and I don't care. I don't like it, and I don't care, basically, is the way it works out. Do I want to talk about Nintendo Switch or Sherlock Holmes? I say Sherlock Holmes, but it's more Lovecraft than it is Sherlock Holmes. Let's see if we can get through this. This is going to be... multiple things have happened this week in regards to what's been going on with the sinking city. Frogwares, who I've met, we've actually interviewed the developers from Frogwares. They were based out of the Ukraine. I don't know exactly where they're based out of now. Mm-hmm. I think they're still probably based out of there. And so they have been making these Sherlock Holmes games forever. And Crime and Punishment was one of the breakouts that they did. They've been doing a lot since then, but then I think Crimes and Punishment was the first one that got a whole lot of eyes looked at. Because of the way it was done, I'm not exactly sure, but that was one of their most popular of all of their Sherlock Holmes titles. The Sinking City developer is Frogwares. It advised prospective buyers to not purchase its game on Steam, alleging that the version on sale was not created by Frogwares. The publisher issued a response in a statement posted on the Sinking City Steam newsfeed. The publisher reiterated the amount of money it has invested in the Sinking City, claiming that Frogwares would like to revise the terms of the contract to their sole advantage. It was Frogwares who came to NACON to request financing for the development of the game, and to date, more than 10 million euros have been paid to Frogwares by us. It was Frogwares that relied on our marketing and promotion teams, representing thousands of hours of work and several million euros worth of investment. The publisher then says that due to a lack of cooperation with Frogwares, the current Steam version is available on the platform but lacks certain Steam-specific features, like cloud saving and achievements, and is only the base game without any additional content. Despite those issues, NACON has put the game on sale on Steam. We sincerely would have preferred that our relationship with Frog Warriors remain cooperative and respectful, as is the case with all the studios whose titles we publish. They've been in a legal dispute over the release of The Sinking City, with the former pulling the game from stores over several alleged breaches of its licensing agreement with the latter. This is Frogwares pulling it over what Nacon has said. So then, it kept going. Near the end of February, Frogwares told fans not to buy the game on Steam. More recently, Nacon rebutted by telling fans that the Steam version was official and complete, but now Frogwares has new allegations, as the studio tells that Nacon hacked and sold The Sinking City in order to list it on Steam. On March 1st, Frogwares clarified the original claim in a very technical post that illustrates why the team thinks Nacon hacked and pirated its game. In addition, according to the Frogwares post, their version deleted all the achievements we prepared, thus removing a key feature of the Steam community. Then Nacon responded those allegations. Frogwares persist in disrupting the release of The Sinking City, said the post. Their statement also attempts to refute claims that the version on Steam is not the complete version of the game, but also says that it wasn't able to integrate Steam-specific features like cloud saves and achievements. This just keeps going on. Let's see. Okay, and so then what happened? It keeps going. The Sinking City has now been removed from Steam following an ongoing dispute between Frogwares and Nacon, the developer and the publisher. Frogwares issued a DMCA takedown in order for its own game to be removed from the store. At the time of that writing, The Sinking City cannot be found on Steam. The studio said at the end of last week that the version of the game offered on the store was not created by Frogwares and asked players to not buy it on this platform. They responded, Frogwares retaliated, accusing Nacon of having cracked a copy of the game. The title was initially pulled from stores. So yeah, this just kept going. And then, was there more, or is this just... Yeah, the game... In a new statement today, they have addressed things as contractually the sole exclusive distributor. Nacon have addressed the accusations that their release of the game was based on a pirated copy. They said Nacon is contractually the sole exclusive distributor of The Sinking City game on Steam. In line with the court's decision, Nacon has repeatedly and unsuccessfully requested that Frogwares make the game available on Steam, failing which it would apply a clause in the contract wherein such a case the game would be adapted by a third party. Frogwares then attempted, without the knowledge of Nacon and in violation of their rights, to make the game available on Steam without mentioning Nacon in its capacity as the publisher. This is, therefore, clear proof that no technical impossibility prevents the game from being put back on Steam. There's a lot of stuff. At present, The Sinking City is unavailable on Steam. You still can't buy it on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I had not. This is the first time I'd really gone through and read back and forth on that stuff. But drama. That is, it's a lot of drama. But it's gotta suck for the developers, man.
Mm-hmm.
It has really gotta. Well, here we put all our work into this, and now we got people who can't play it. I mean, apparently it's fine running on Xbox and all the other the consoles. It's the PC version that they're having a problem with.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really can't pick a side on this, to be honest with you. We've talked with Frogwares before. I've enjoyed their games, so I biasly tend to lean towards them on this than I do Nacon. I'm not familiar with Nacon at all, but I don't know. I don't want to tell you. I hate this because Frogwares is not like some big. They're not throwing weight around because they ain't got a lot of weight to throw.
Mm-hmm.
So this hurts them in the long run by not having their game in the store. But if it wasn't their game and Nacon was reaping the rewards, then maybe they weren't making any money off of the game when it's being sold on Steam.
Right.
Which could also be an issue. I have no idea, by the way. I also don't know if the game's available on the Epic Game Store. And if it is, why is it fine there but it's not working on Steam, you know?
Yeah.
I really don't know. I feel bad for them, though.
Yeah.
Because they're a really small studio. Maybe Nacon's a small publisher. I don't know. But I know Frogwares is a small studio, limited budget, but have made some pretty good games.
You said they moved recently, right?
I didn't know. The last time I talked to them, they were based out of the Ukraine, but the Ukraine was going through some
stuff.
They were going through some stuff. Yeah, back then when we talked to them, because the Ukraine was in the news at the time, and I can't remember exactly what it was all over. Mm-hmm. But I do remember in the interview we talked about that, like how it was for them to go to work when, you know, you could hear gunfire and everything else going on in your area. And I don't mean, I know you're thinking, oh, we got gunfire here in Montgomery. No. We're talking, like, just think of it like third world country type stuff, where you walk outside and it's just regular for you to hear shots being fired in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just part of life type of stuff. And at that, and I'm not saying it was a part of life, but it had been going on enough that that was all you heard. Morning, noon, and night, you would hear gunfire, you know, off in the distance somewhere. Explosions, grenades off in the distance somewhere. Maybe not close to you in regards to where you were, but could at any point be there. And that's what they were going through at that time. I'd have to go back and find that. But yeah, it was good talking to them. So that's interesting to see that's something going on. And I just hope it works out for them. I really, really do. What else do we have? That EA has delayed a Need for Speed game, which I didn't even know they were working on. But it's a new year, so obviously they are working on a Need for Speed game. But apparently there was a game in development in the Need for Speed franchise. But EA paused the development of that game so they could take Criterion, which were making the Need for Speed. I'm glad to hear that Criterion's still doing stuff. I know it's not Burnout. I really wish it was. But they're working on a Need for Speed game. Maybe they can find that magic that Burnout was in the next Need for Speed. I'm always glad when they're getting that work. When Criterion is working, that's good for me because it means there is a chance for something to come of this.
Yeah,
it is a very low chance, but it's still a chance.
Yeah.
And that's all that's all us Burnout fans can really hope for is just a chance that maybe it comes away and pulls us back in like it did ever so long ago. But EA pulled them off so they could help the next Battlefield game, which I'm like, okay. It's their decision, obviously, and they know what's best, but I'm like, man, who cares? Don't do the Battlefield game. Work on the Need for Speed. That's just me. So, Criterion's Need for Speed is now targeting a fiscal year 2023 for a release on that. I don't know when. I guess Battlefield will come out this fall, maybe. I don't know. Are they fast in getting out the Battlefields? I know they were fast in getting out the Call of Duties. That's at least one a year.
Yeah, they prioritize the ones that get, business is going to prioritize.
But we haven't
the
had a,
get
I don't think, answer, I don't yeah. think we've had a Battlefield game since 2019, though. I don't think we had one last year, as far as I know. So there, which means
was
they're
it,
overdue.
The,
for
was,
one.
It was the last one they did. Was that the one with all the controversy and the bad decision making and the animosity between developers and the players? Was that the one, the last one they did? Battlefield 1? Was that it?
No, it wasn't Battlefield 1. There was a game after. It's very weird because there was Battlefield 1, and then right after that, there was Battlefield V.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems like 5, but I think it was actually Battlefield V is what it was supposed to be.
Yeah. And something with Star Wars, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's Battlefield V or 5 maybe, which I don't think it's 5. I think it's V. I don't have a date of release on that thing to tell you what it was. Oh, release date was 2020. Really? October 22nd, 2020 is when Battlefield V released. Or is that the definitive edition? What about standard edition? Mm-hmm. Yeah, standard edition was 2018. And the definitive edition is apparently 2020. So yeah, 2018 was, I think that was the last time we had a Battlefield game.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, do we have a Battlefield 6? Maybe I'm wrong. Nope. Battlefield 6. Yeah, this was 4 days ago on Tech Radar. Battlefield 6 rumors point to cross-gen and 128-player maps. A new Battlefield is in development at EA DICE, and it's set to arrive on PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC holiday of this year. EA has teased that the new Battlefield will be a true next-gen vision for the franchise and boasts never-before-seen scale, with rumors pointing to a potential 128 player maps and a modern-day setting. Apparently it says we'll learn more about the new Battlefield in the spring of this year. And that's pretty much what we know. Holiday 2021. And that's pretty much all we have. Plus that Criterion's going to be helping out with that, which is weird. The game apparently suffered setbacks due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but appears to be on track for a late 2020 release. It's not all good news, however, as Criterion jumping on Battlefield 6 means they aren't able to work on the next Need for Speed project. That's been pushed back to 2022. I was trying to figure out what Criterion could be working on to help them out. If there was a certain segment, like I know Criterion did the space battles or the flying parts of the Star Wars Battlefront or whatever that was.
Okay. The driving portion?
Well, I don't know. The vehicle stuff, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the vehicle stuff. If that's
I don't know. I'm kind of curious about that.
Criterion seems to be vehicles are their thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, but they can work on other stuff. They can, especially if the studio is being bogged down because they don't have enough people working on this thing, they can just hand stuff off to other developers to say, here, finish this. Mm-hmm. Regardless if they're good at vehicle stuff or not.
Yeah.
It's just more people to work on the game, regardless of what their expertise might be in working on. It's mm-hmm. just like, here's what we've got so far, finish this up, you know, make this complete. Mm-hmm. So... Lethal Migrant says, I want EA to explain something. Why take Criterion off Need for Speed to help with Battlefield when Respawn has Respawn or LA or whatever that is a sports studio and could easily help with the game instead? That's a good question. Probably because Respawn's working on something with Apex Legends, and that brings them money.
Priorities.
You know, that's my guess. I know that they've got a support studio, but it's probably also looking into that or whatever other game Respawn may be working on. So I'm not sure. It's a good question. More than likely, the answer to that is Need for Speed as a franchise, or at least as recent releases go, hasn't done very well for us.
Mm-hmm.
Battlefield, while not ideal, has done better than what the Need for Speed releases are. So you guys go work on this. We can afford to bump this. As far as Respawn and Apex Legends or whatever it is they may be working on, mm-hmm. if it's something related, they're probably like, well, that's too important for us to slow down on. We need to keep going on this. This is why we're taking them off Need for Speed and that sort of thing. I'm trying to think like EA. I know I can't do that job very well, but that's my reasoning. It's probably going to fall under a numbers game.
Yeah.
You know? Here's how many people we need to be working on Battlefield to get it out on time. Here's how many people we need to get this thing Respawn's working out on time, and here's how many people we need to get this Need for Speed thing. And it's like, well, we can pull them off Need for Speed. We can wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't wear as we can on the others.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, they're turning Need for Speed into something that is a games as service event to bring in more, to generate more revenue.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. So we'll see. Will it be worth it? Probably not, because I'm not going to play the Battlefield game. But that's me. That's just me. That is just me. Unless, of course, Criterion's...
You'd sooner play Need for Speed, wouldn't you?
Well, maybe. I don't know. Need for Speed I haven't really liked. Even though Criterion's worked on it, I keep hoping. I played every one of them because I'm wondering how it plays.
Yeah.
With the exception of the ones that Criterion didn't work on, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a few recent ones that Criterion did not touch.
Mm-hmm. Did it show?
I didn't play them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew there was no hope for anything that might be Burnout related. So I really never touched them. And I heard some bad reviews, especially on the most recent one they released, which was kind of, I don't know if it was a reboot or whatever, but it was basically Need for Speed and it had no subtitles or anything, just Need for Speed. That was it. And so, yeah. There was one called Need for Speed, I think Payback. And that seemed to have some of the Burnout-esque things where you could do takedowns and stuff.
Yeah.
That seemed to have some carryover from Burnout, but apparently it didn't work.
I think I've only played one Need for Speed title. It was kind of meh. The Run.
Yeah, there's that one.
That's the one. I think that's the only Need for Speed I've ever played.
I never touched it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Criterion worked on that one. I could be wrong on these, by the way. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's... But I've just never been a Battlefield player.
Yeah.
Kind of, so it's just like, yeah, I'm more interested to see what they do with Need for Speed. But that's just me.
Okay.
Hey, coming up, when we come back, we'll talk about Nintendo. Because I opted to go for the Lovecraftian thing over the Nintendo thing. But we'll talk about Nintendo and possibly a new Switch that could be released this year. We'll give you more of the details on that when we come back. Music here from Valkyrie Chronicles 4. Is it Valkyrie?
Valkyria? Maybe.
Valkyria Chronicles 4.
I'll look it up.
Is what this is from.
Don't heck of a time to look it up, right?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll find out later. But anyway, that's what it's from. And we'll be back. I think it's the main title for the game. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to the show. In-game chat here. Our phone number again, 334-272-9228, although we are running low on the time here. Music from Outward. Main theme from that game, which I haven't played, but it was in my Humble Bundles.
Outward.
Yeah, called Outward. I don't know much about it.
I suppose Outlast.
Right.
Did you play that one?
Outlast?
Yeah.
No, but I watched it. Okay. Being played.
Yeah.
Was James that played that? Somebody I know played it and I watched him play it. I don't remember who.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't about to. I wasn't about to play that.
Yeah. Horror's not your genre, not your wheelhouse, right?
In some instances, like, you know, I don't necessarily, I don't consider Until Dawn a horror game, even though it seems to be the setup of, like, one of those teen horror movie type stuff. You know?
Yeah.
It's got some jump scares, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some really, apparently really cheesy jump scares. Hopefully they explain some of them.
Yep. Keep playing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I would like to, I would have loved to have seen, there's a certain jump scare that takes place at a certain segment of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it had teased me with that jump scare before.
Mm-hmm.
By putting a person there, and then the second time it did it, it was a flash of a second, And whatever it was that it showed was not human. Mm-hmm. At least for the split second that I saw it.
Yeah.
It wasn't human. And so basically what I want to see is the same thing happen, but I want to see it from an angle outside of my POV.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to see how that jump scare happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that thing doing that, but also not right there in front of me? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll explain all this. I have no idea. I'm sure Biloxi's listening. He's probably like, well, that never happened to me. Yeah. You know, if he didn't get that kid, see, that's...
That's sticking with you. I know.
It's
sticking with you.
Because he's like, I don't remember that ever happening. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man, mm-hmm. this leans more towards my thinking of maybe it is following what I like and don't like. You know, mm-hmm. maybe it is somehow figured that out, I guess. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I got to play more to find out.
Yep.
Drunk Degenerates joined the chat room, says, I didn't expect it, but Valheim... really sunk its Viking fangs deep into me. I've been playing a lot these days.
Oh, it hooked you.
It hooked him.
Yeah.
Has not hooked me. Although I haven't played it. So, I mean, I don't know that it would. I've looked at it, and it doesn't look like it's going to hook into me, but I don't know. You know, you start to get that peer pressure. You start seeing more people on your friends list start playing something. You're like, well, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, if you see...
Let me see what this is about.
Yeah, if you see... I mean, aesthetics mean... aesthetics really don't mean... too much for the game is really fun,
mm-hmm.
fun to play with. Really, I mean, at this point, with all the technology available, I think we've talked about it before. With all the technology available, we expect you to be graphically nice. In fact, you better be, because you're gonna get crucified if you don't.
Yeah.
But there's some games that don't require graphical excellence to be good. Like Minecraft, still blocky characters, right? But it's still a fun game to play. It's got everybody playing, right?
Creatively, there were times I would come back and forth into Minecraft where
mm-hmm.
we'd play it and then we'd stop and then we'd get that bug in us again to where we kind of want to just go out there and build something, and we did.
Yeah.
And,
or a lot of those titles that have the retro look,
mm-hmm.
but it's really fun to play.
Yeah,
you know.
God, I remember making some just god awful places. When I was doing that, and then of course we wanted to make a tunnel, so like it was, we had our own. It was our own little in-game chat server, and I mean Jeremy and James and I was there, and I think Kevin played on. We brought some other people in as well, but we all were on these different parts of the world map thing,
right?
And I had built this massive tower of a home, and then I started digging under that and built this massive cave-like structure to go from, so you could move underground from my part of the map to James' part of the map to Jeremy's part of the map.
Mm-hmm.
You could just go from, you know, however you wanted to, and you wouldn't have to go outside to do it. You just go
underground pathway. Yeah,
and then I would put glass blocks over the path, so it would have like a glass ceiling as you're going through. I don't know. It was interesting and it was fun. A lot of fun to do. And then, of course, the creative bug would wear off.
Yeah.
And we would move on to something else.
It was like me with Fallout 4. Yeah. Building settlements
mm-hmm.
for people in the wasteland. You know, it got to a point where you could, where the bugs and or the hacks or whatever came in, and you could just have infinite resources. And you could see how creative could you get with the materials they give you.
I swear, I think we had that turned off.
Mm-hmm.
We may have had it turned off. I don't know if we had it turned off or on. The enemy type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we someday, a lot of the times we had it turned off, I guess, to initially build our what we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turned it back on afterwards so that, you know, we could have certain things, I guess, or do whatever with it. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
This was long before Discord or anything like that. So the way we were playing it was probably archaic compared to the what we do it now, but yeah.
Yeah, if you were having fun, have at it, man.
And we did, yeah.
Yeah.
Last year, it was reported that a new model of the Nintendo Switch would probably be out sometime this year. Now we got some more specific details. The original report was very light on those, saying only that Nintendo has looked into including more computing power and 4K high-definition graphics into a Switch. That has now been clarified to say that the new model will feature an OLED screen made by Samsung, which will be 7 inches across. Current Switch models are 6.2, so it would be going up about an inch. And it'll feature a 720p resolution. It will also, perhaps even more importantly, output 4K visuals when connected to a TV, which is a pretty big difference going from 720 to 4K when docked. Yeah. Bloomberg's report says production on the new screens will commence in June, with the display slated for shipment to assemblers around July, meaning this new model would be ready in time for the holidays. I don't know what it'll be called, Switch Plus, Switch 4K.
Some with Switch in the title.
Maybe. Switch U. Right?
Maybe.
Because you know how their naming goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. 720p handheld, 4K docked, which tends to lead me to think that the dock itself will have some sort of power to it in order to push that resolution to 4K. Because right now, the dock for the current Switch does absolutely nothing. It charges,
it charges
the system if you plug it in, and it allows it to go to the to be displayed on the TV, but it actually doesn't do anything other than that. It's the system itself that displays the 1080p or whatever it is.
So
that makes me think, like I said, that the dock is going to be a little bit more hefty as far as what it can do. I don't know. And how much will it cost? Will they phase out the old one? Because once you've got this, why would you, you know, it just, like, I understand having SKUs on the table of different kinds, but you've already got a light and a regular. You've got a light which doesn't dock. It's completely handheld all the way. Is that getting revamped to just be one that's, you know, just 720p output handheld, that's it? I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that. It's possible that it could be. And then, you know, what do you do with your regular Switch when you've got this one out there? Just let those sell through and then continue to sell this one? You're going to put it out there for the same price? Seems a little difficult to do, to put it out there for the same price. It just means that nobody's going to buy your original one that's still sitting on the shelves. Most of those aren't sitting on the shelves, though. As we know, the Switch was kind of hard to get for a while there. I think it's actually better now, but this time last year, or a few months into last year, I think around April, May, it was hard to get a Switch. And then for the summer, it was very difficult to get a Switch. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Well, I don't think I've really got much of anything else. We talked about Valheim from Drunk Degenerates. That got up to 5 million sales in a month's time. That thing is going nuts, man. A lot of people are enjoying
that. Is that official record?
Huh?
5 million in a month? Or is that not?
I don't think that's a record. We'll see.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
5 million units is a huge milestone for any game, and to achieve this in 4 weeks is remarkable. We are incredibly...
Just remarkable.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I don't necessarily know that that's a record. I'm not sure exactly what the record would be. But
Most video game sales... Most sales in a month for a video game title.
You'd have to look at... You'd have to look at, like, Call of Duty, I believe. Call of Duty is going to win that one.
Okay.
That or maybe a Halo. Ooh, might even be a GTA. But I'm not exactly sure, and I know you're going to look that up and find out.
Yeah.
Because I am curious myself. Yeah, it's not going to be a Madden title. And Nabokov says it's Madden or GTA would be my guess. And I don't believe it's a Madden. I don't think it's a sports game at all. I think it is either a Call of Duty or possibly a GTA, Red Dead, something that Rockstar did. And even then, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think Call of Duty would probably have a bigger install base and would probably be up there. Have you found anything yet?
Well, Wikipedia had a list of let's see. I'm trying to make sense of it right now. 3 weeks, 4 million in 3 weeks for Valheim. Let's see. Players Unknown Battle PUBG, multi-platform. 30 million in an hour?
Let's see, video
or a
games.
Day.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. In a day? Some of these things are broken down by an hour, a day, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And some of them at the top you were guessing, like Grand Theft Auto V, consoles said 11.2 million in a day. 16.5 million in 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see where Valheim's up there.
Yeah.
For 4 million in 3 weeks, but 11 million in 1 day?
Yeah.
30 million in 1 day for PUBG.
For PUBG.
What? Wait, 30 million in an hour?
Yeah. They got an hour in a day in there, yeah.
Oh, wow. We were, I wasn't even going into that many million. That's $900 million, by the way.
No, it's units, units sold, gross revenue in brackets.
That is the biggest one on here.
Yeah.
Jesus. 30 million copies sold in one single hour. That's amazing. I don't know that it was that day it was released, December 20th of 2017, yeah. But in 1 day they sold 30 million because they sold 1 day in an hour. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing to me.
But you, the titles you called were on this list as well, you said Call of Duty. A bunch of Call of Duties on this thing.
I figured there would be.
And Grand Theft Auto 4 got up there as well. Halo 3, there you go. What else did you say?
I was going to say it was either one of those. It was either
Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy got up here. A lot of RPGs. A Sonic the Hedgehog 2 back in...
Nabokov fan has that GTA 5 broke 7 Guinness World Records on October the 8th. Best-selling video game in 24 hours. Best-selling action-adventure game in 24 hours. Highest-grossing video game in 24 hours. Fastest entertainment property to gross $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Fastest video game to gross $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Highest revenue generated by an entertainment product in 24 hours. Most viewed trailer for an action adventure. Yeah, yeah. I totally get all that. But that was back in whatever year that was for GTA 5.
Released in 2013, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe that record's been broken. I'm not exactly sure since then. So. You know, we're talking about the Wii U, and the Wii U got a system update this week. I have no idea why, but they got one. Also, PlayStation Store is going to stop selling movies and TV shows. Excuse me. Yeah. So, not a big loss there.
Did you ever buy movies off of PlayStation?
I did not.
Yeah,
I never bought them.
How about renting, or even rent them?
No. I picked up some that were free. Like something may have been free for some reason or another, and I think I picked it up. But
some episodes, I believe, were free. I think I've seen some. It was years ago, and I can't remember the thing. But it was like the first two episodes of a series were like free,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of them were like pay for.
Yeah.
But they give you a little taste of it. Do you want to see the rest of it for?
Probably, I remember what it was. No. It was Powers.
Yeah. Powers. Yeah. That was it. Powers. Yeah. Powers. Yeah.
Yep. That's the one.
That was it. Yeah. Yeah. It was like two were free, and the rest were like $4.99 or something like
yeah,
that.
And yeah, and I either bought it. I can't remember if I bought it or if I obtained it by other means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a good time there, but yeah. Even if it was available like that, I didn't think of PlayStation game by PlayStation for going for buying movies and things like that. I keep thinking about Netflix and things like that.
Yeah.
Or any other streaming service that's available now. But yeah,
I know it's perfectly fine. I don't think there's any. I never used the PlayStation Store to buy anything like that.
Yeah,
I used the PlayStation Store to download apps that would let me watch things like that, but not buy things like that.
Yeah,
or you know, so I could stream stuff, but not mm-hmm. you know, make a purchase or anything like that. I've rarely bought from.
I mean, heck, it was a miracle I even found that thing because mm-hmm. I wasn't even looking through TV and movies. When everything's on sale, it says games or TV and movie. No, just go to games. That's what I got it for anyway. Games. So
did you have a problem finding that Disney Plus app, or was that just boom right there?
every time I go to TV and video, Disney Plus is like right there as a choice.
Have you watched anything with it?
No, I just set it up and updated it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, everyone's talking about WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
So, may as well look at it and avoid spoilers.
Okay. Yeah.
Which we're all over the internet and everything and social media all over the place. But since I didn't have Disney Plus or whatever, I never looked at it or thought about it. So I'm pretty good in that. I'm pretty good in the aspect of avoiding spoilers in that respect.
Lethal Migrant says, I buy movies from the Microsoft Store. Most are part of the Movies Anywhere app. I did the same thing because I do that Microsoft Rewards thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, if you buy during this month, if you buy any of these movies that are, if you buy three movies that are $4 or more, you get this many points that goes towards getting discounts on things like that and stuff.
So okay.
I've occasionally done that.
Yeah.
It's been a while because I go to the store and I look at it and I'm like, there's absolutely nothing here that I want or that I haven't seen that I might be interested in or
or
that I don't already own.
Yeah.
So,
like the movie types we talked about, the ones that the snooty reviewers want you to see.
Yeah, well,
those types. I ain't watching that. Yeah.
All right. We got a phone call here. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Trina.
Hey, Trina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good here. First time you called into the show. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about games, and I was just curious if you guys played, like, board games and stuff. My daughter is like a board game designer, and she just like dropped a game on Kickstarter that kind of blown up past her goal. And I just was going to give you a heads up on it. Mm-hmm.
Now, is she? You guys are local here?
We are. We live in Wetumpka. She graduated at Hopewell, and then graduated at Montevallo with a minor in game design.
What is the, how can we find the game on Kickstarter? Can we just do a search for it on Kickstarter or what?
You should be able to. When it went live on Monday and their goal was like 6,000 and for it to get published by next February and it's almost at 17,000.
What is the, what's the name of it?
It's called Gift of Tulips, like the flower tulips. It's gorgeous. It's a card game. And it's just about, like, building flower bouquets or what to do with flowers. It's a strategy game, kind of, for, you know, like 4 to 6 players, but it's really pretty. She's the brains behind it, and another friend of hers did the art, but it looks fantastic.
Is this, Weird Giraffe Games?
Yes.
That's, okay.
That's in, and they're based in Huntsville, I think.
Really? That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a long time since I played board games. About the only time I would play board games is when I would be on trips to like gaming. I would go to gaming conventions and they would have they would have board games for you to pick up and play because for one, I was an only child. And so I didn't have a lot of people to play board games with.
Yeah,
And two, from what my parents would tell me, I was a horrible person to play a board game with anyway, because as a young child, if I wasn't winning, it was horrible. So they had to, you know, bend the rules for me. But I do enjoy board games. That's one of the most fun times that I have going to these Penny Arcade Expo packs and things where we'd go to San Antonio or Seattle was meeting people who were making new board games and trying their games out. And realizing,
may have met her. Who knows? She's been going to, she's been pitching games for the last few years when she was still in college. And she does a lot of game testing, play testing at all of the conventions and stuff in the, I don't know, close around states at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's a little brainiac, but she was really motivated to get this one because she's a gardener and she's vegan and she's just all about, you know, gardening and flowers and just all this stuff. And it's got a really good concept and it's really easy play, like 20 minutes or so, you know, with like four people but it's really fun. There's a lot of good feedback. If you, I just figured I'd let you guys know since you're talking about
games. Yeah, we're looking at it now. 803 backers. You had a goal of 6,000, but you've already made 17 grand off of this thing. Which is amazing. For her to get that with probably very little help or press or anything like that. So,
I mean, I'm new to like even looking at Kickstarter because I'm like, how do I do this? How do I push a button and give you money? And she's like, well, you got to do it like this. And so, so we're kind of new to it. We've been watching it almost like it's like the election poll results or something like that.
Well, Trina,
it's up even more.
We have got to run on this, but give me a call back next week so we can talk more in depth about this, if you could. We'd love to talk to you about it, and you know, it's just great. Right. Game Maker, who's local, that sort of thing. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
Take care now.
We are way over time. We got to run. Thank you so much, everybody. Don't forget to join us on all of our stuff. Like I said, we're behind. Have a fantastic week. Music here from a game called Loop Hero. We'll see you next Saturday on In Game Chat.